Welcome to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. My name is Marcus Cole, Director of Soccer Operations and Branding. Now, before we begin today's show, I want to remind you that once you've had a chance to check out our program, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcasts from. That helps you stay up to date on the latest content from us and helps us get the word out to others and let them know that we're providing valuable information for soccer players, coaches, referees, and parents. On the phone with us today is John Solomon, Editorial Director at the Aspen Institute Sports and Society Program. John, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't you go ahead and just tell our audience a little bit about the Aspen Institute and your guys' mission?
Sure. So the Aspen Institute in general is a nonpartisan forum for values-based leadership and the exchange of ideas. We're based in Washington, D.C. And within the Aspen Institute is the program that I'm part of. It's called the Sports and Society Program. And we convene leaders, facilitate dialogue, and inspire solutions that help sports serve the public interest. And our key initiative within the Sports and Society Program is called Project Play. And this is a national idea about how to try to reimagine youth sports through the core values of health and inclusion. We want to be able to have every child have the opportunity to play sports, to be physically active, regardless of zip code and regardless of their ability.
I think over recent years, I think we've kind of made I don't want to necessarily say a wrong turn when it comes to youth sports, but I think we're kind of going down a little bit of an incorrect path. What are some of the things that your organization is doing to help us correct that path?
Well, we do a lot of work a couple ways. One, looking at nationally and trying to raise awareness and educate people about what some of the issues are. So Project Play was started in 2013, and then a couple years later, after we went around the country, did a lot of roundtables, a lot of listening to a lot of key people in different sports and organizations, we created the Sport for All, Play for Life playbook. And these are, you know, 8 simple strategies that anyone can apply to try to help children have access to quality sports and physical activity. That is one area that we promote a lot. We do, you know, national reports each year that has some of the latest trends and data related to youth sports participation and some of the sport by sport numbers. We put on a national summit. It's called the Project Play Summit every year. We just had one in Detroit in September. We had, you know, over 550 leaders in youth sports and health from across the country. And then we also go into communities, and we do some state of play reports in particular communities. Recently, we put reports out in Seattle, King County, and also the state of Hawaii. Now we're in the process of producing future reports for Central Ohio in the Columbus area, and also Camden, New Jersey. So there's quite a bit that we do, and it's there's really not one silver bullet. I do agree with you that we've taken a wrong turn, you know, here in recent decades. There's not one silver bullet to sort of correct it, but collectively, we all can have a role in doing it. And you know, the Aspen Institute, we just try to do our part.
Talk to us a little bit about that project playbook that you mentioned, that there was 8 elements in that playbook that folks should be considering.
Yep. So, you know, there are 8 strategies, and they all kind of sound simple, but they often aren't practiced by adults in youth sports. One is ask kids what they want. And it sounds really simple, that one, right? But we find that most adults don't really ask children what they want out of their sports experience. And there's a lot of surveys out there and data that shows what they want is, number one, is to have fun and to play with teammates and friends. Our second strategy is reintroduce free play. Free play, when I was growing up in the, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you would go outside and play for hours at a time, you know, in the neighborhood, soccer games, baseball games, football games, basketball, whatever, until it got dark and you came home. Free play has really become a lost art for a lot of kids. And some reasons, it's because of concerns about safety, and they're legitimate concerns. But in a lot of other cases, it's kids being overscheduled. Our third strategy is encourage sports sampling. There's a lot of research out there showing that kids who play multiple sports are better off. There's less chances of overuse injuries and of burnout. Four, we talk about revitalized in-town leagues. The travel sports culture has, in many cases, become a pay-for-play model, and we need to find a way to still provide an affordable and quality option for people in local leagues who can't afford to, you know, spend a lot of time or a lot of money in the travel culture. Fifth strategy is think small, which means think about, find small play spaces, be creative in ways to get kids to play, such as mini pitches as opposed to, you know, huge soccer fields. Design for development is our play number six, meaning let's treat kids actually as the kids that they are and the appropriate age, and give them, teach them the skills and the techniques and the coaching that's appropriate at their particular age. They're not mini adults. They're not professional athletes. They're not college athletes at this point. Seven, we talk about train all coaches. The vast majority of youth sports coaches are not trained in key categories such as, you know, safety or sports skill tactics, or even how to effectively communicate with kids. And then finally, eight is emphasize prevention. And that is, you know, making sure that it's a safe environment for kids, not just physically, but of course also emotionally and mentally.
The research that is coming out, it's just staggering of the number of kids that are dropping out of sports and at the ages that they're doing it. What are some of the areas that you've seen most commonly reported as why kids are dropping out of sports?
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple reasons. One of the biggest is the costs. And what's really happened in youth sports, like in other parts of society, is that it's become sort of a haves versus have-nots. You have a lot of kids, you know, if you come from a home with income and your parents are able to afford the camps and the training and the travel culture, you've got a good opportunity in sports, or at least you've got a chance. You know, you still may burn out, you know, or may get injured by playing so much, but you at least have that initial chance. There are many kids, you know, lower income households who just don't have that opportunity. They can't afford it. And it continually gets more and more expensive. So that's one issue. I would say the second big one is also the pressure that kids face. Pressure from various people, adults. Sometimes it could be from the parents. Sometimes it could be from coaches. Sometimes it could even be peers, you know, internal pressure. You see other kids who are doing really well and you feel you're not able to do as well as them. It's really those two key points. I'd say there probably are some others, but those are probably the main ones.
You guys recently had a campaign, the hashtag Don't Retire Kid, with a series of videos that accompanied it. And the one that strikes out in my head just because I'm with the West Virginia Soccer Association was the little girl getting up on the bleachers and announcing her retirement from playing youth soccer. And the line that stuck out in my head was something along the lines of, playing at 9 years old, what I thought at 5 years old, it's not what it was when I was five. And it was such a powerful, powerful video. Talk to us a little bit about that campaign.
Yeah, it was a really important campaign. And thank you for saying that. We're really pleased the feedback we got. I think a lot of people can relate to it. And we needed to sort of put it out there in that way, you know, where you have a kid retiring from soccer. And we had another video where there was a young boy who actually called a press conference, you know, in this PSA and announced his retirement. It was no longer fun and the pressure was too much. And even a reporter, you know, a fake reporter in the audience asks, well, what are you going to do next? And he just thinks for a second and says, whatever's fun. I mean, he's 9 years old. That's what it is. And so Don't Retire Kid. You know, we got a lot of traction with it on social media. ESPN was one of our key partners in this campaign and was able to generate a lot of exposure for it on the ads on TV and also through some articles and other means. And it's gotten a terrific response because I think people get it. I think people can sort of see it and look in the mirror a little bit and ask themselves the question, okay, am I part of this a little bit, that some of these kids are retiring? And that's the goal. It's in part, it's to get parents to reflect a little bit on themselves, you know, get adults to reflect on themselves. And then also make that turn to how can we create solutions? How do we change this? And so we, you know, drive a lot of people for the campaign to our website, projectplay.us, where we have these ideas like RA plays and other tools and resources to potentially keep kids from quitting too early.
I'll be honest with you. I was in that category probably about 5-6 years ago. And I think, thankfully, I started to see the light a little bit more and kind of did that self-reflection and what it was more about them than it was about me and my expectations. It was their expectations. And I think, I think it's a great conversation that we need to be having with parents. And I think it's just an opportunity for us to, as you stated early on in this conversation, what do the kids want? You know, every kid is different in what they want out of sports. Some, it may be a social aspect. Some, it may be just inclusion on a team. Some, it may be, I want to play in college and things along that lines. And I'm sure you see a lot of that with your organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important to say also that parents aren't the villains here, right? Like, that's not the idea of the campaign or any of our work that we do. Because I think what, if anything, we feel very sympathetic for parents, because parents just sort of get caught up in this system. It's a very commercialized, multi-billion dollar industry, youth sports industry. There's a lot of money to be made on it. Parents, ultimately, for the most part, there are some who are bad apples, of course, but for the most part, parents just want what's best for their children. They're just trying to give their child the best opportunity to succeed. But a lot of them are really confused. They don't know how to navigate youth sports. They don't know what's the right competitive level for my child. Why does it cost this amount of money? Where do I find resources to help me given the costs? Why is the coach acting the way the coach is if he's not, you know, properly trained or, you know, doing some things wrong? They don't know where to turn. And so we're hoping, you know, to continue to not just educate them, but it's also empower them. I mean, parents ultimately, I said at the beginning, there's probably not one silver bullet. I stand by that. But parents may be the one biggest key as the change agent for youth sports, because ultimately they're the consumer. They're paying for these leagues. They're putting their kids into them. And if they start to better understand what good should look like in youth sports, then they start demanding it. Then they start expecting that from their leagues, from their coaches, from the whole system as a whole.
I agree 100%. What's interesting in you saying that, not painting the parents as the villain in the story, I think is a great point. I think it's just parents don't know where to navigate. They don't. I mean, there's no manual, you know, there's no manual to being a sports parent.
No, there's not. I've sort of joked that, and I've been a youth sports parent as well. And I was on the outside looking in when my son first started playing sports. I've joked that there needs to be some like youth sports parenting 101 course. Like when you just get started, when I started as a youth sports parent, this was before I was at Project Play. This was about 7 years ago, and my youngest son had a good first T-ball experience. Then at 5 years old in T-ball, it was so bad, so competitive. About a month into the season, he says, "I want to retire from baseball." Literally said that. Wow. At 5 years old. Just, you know, arguments over calls and bad tactics being taught that had nothing to do with, you know, trying to develop skills. I mean, you know, parents yelling at umpires, a 20-minute delay for one game while you're waiting for the commissioner to come to settle a dispute over 5-year-old T-ball. And my son also was pretty much playing the outfield the whole time, and balls never come there. The coach wanted to be competitive and win games. And I actually was an assistant coach on the team, and I blame myself some for the experience. And I talked to the head coach about some of this, particularly the not having the kids play different positions, which I think they should at that age and get to learn different skills. And he said, "Well, a lot of parents are, that's not why they're signing up. They're signing up because they want to win." And I said, "That's not why I signed up. But then as a parent, as a new youth sports parent, you just sort of suck it up at that point. And in the back of your mind, you go, okay, I know I'm not going to come back to this league next year, but you just sort of stay quiet and you're the good soldier for the rest of the year. But we actually need more parents to stand up and be able to have those conversations with the coaches or the commissioners and say, no, here's really what it should be. And I can point to this research or project plays work or whatever as the reasons why.
Where can parents get information from you guys specifically to be able to stand up and take a stand in regards to correcting the path of youth sports?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, our website, www.projectplay.us, has a lot of resources. There's a section at the very top of the website called specifically for parents. And there's some various tools there that you can look at. One is there's a parent's mailbag. We do a monthly advice column where parents write in with questions and concerns. And then, you know, we try to answer them and point them in the right direction. We also have a Project Play parent checklist. These are really 10 simple questions that parents should ask themselves, their child, and their sports provider based on are you meeting these 10 questions in these areas to try to provide a positive sports experience.
That's wonderful. Your organization seems to be doing some wonderful work. Now, before we wrap things up here, John, just give us a quick overview of what we can do, just kind of a recap of changing our path that we're currently on and trying to promote a healthy culture when it comes to youth sports.
Yep. I mean, I think if there's only one thing you do, that is just actually talk to your kids and ask them what they want out of their sports experience, right? I mean, and it may differ from child to child. As you mentioned, there may be some kids who just want to be part of a team. Some may be more competitive, but really talk to them and understand what it is that they want, and then actually listen to them, right? So I just think you have to put the child's needs ahead of the adults. You know, we don't need to live vicariously through them and their experiences. We already had our experiences as kids playing youth sports. This is their experience. So let's make sure that they're getting out of it what they want and need.
Once again, John, go ahead and give a website where they can find all this information and also where they can find you guys on social media.
Sure. Our website, again, is projectplay.us. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And our handle is at AspenInst, I-N-S-T, sports, A-S-P-E-N-I-N-S-T, S-P-O-R-T-S.
Wonderful. John, thank you for being on the program today. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you so much, and thank you for all that you're doing as well.
Thank you for listening to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. Now that you've heard our program, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating. We'll see you next week.